Today's gospel reading for the message today comes from Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. God's kingdom is like 10 young virgins who took oil lamps and went out to greet the newlyweds. 5 were silly and 5 were smart. The silly virgins took lamps but no extra oil. And the smart virgins took jars of oil to feed their lamps. The newlywed didn't show up when they expected them, and they all fell asleep. In the middle of the night, someone yelled, "They are here, and the newlywed is here. Go out and greet them." The 10 virgins got up, got their lamps ready. The silly virgins said to the smart ones, "Our lamps are going out. Lend us some oil." And they answered, "There might not be enough to go around. Go buy your own." And they did. But while they were out buying oil, the newlywed arrived. And when everyone was there to greet them, they had gone into the wedding feast, and the door was locked. Much later, the other virgins, the silly ones, showed up and knocked on the door saying, "Sovereign, we're here. Let us in." And the answer came, "Do I know you? I don't think I know you. So stay alert. You have no idea when they might arrive." This is the good news of Jesus the Christ. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, I come to you as your servant, asking that the words I speak today would not be mine, but they would be yours. Asking, O God, that those who hear and receive these words would receive them not only in their minds and in their hearts, but deep in their souls, O God. That place where only you and they go. Help us to understand this morning that timing is everything. Preparation helps with that timing. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit, that I would do your will and not my own. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. Amen. All right, so let me get my rant out of the way right away. You know, this particular verse, yeah, you know, you knew I was going to say it, right? This particular verse has been used and misused by the church for I don't know how long. And even worse than the church, the evangelicals, who have made a ton of their living scaring you to death as to when the world's going to end. Amen? And, all right, you got to get ready. And which, by the way, getting ready means you send me all the money that's in your wallet for my ministry that is going to be here to usher you into heaven. Yes, I'm being a little cranky about it. But one of the things that I've come as I've gotten older about the church in general that annoys me is when we take a teaching of Jesus and deliberately misuse it. I cannot think of anything more hypocritical than the way this particular passage gets preached. It's used as a fear passage a lot of times. If you listen, I don't know who all those people are, but you can turn them on at, 2 o'clock in the morning, and they're talking about the end of the world, and they're always talking about, and they use these maidens as their example of being prepared. Look, there's a whole series of things that Jesus gives us to tell us one basic thing. Are you ready? I mean, this is really big news. Nobody knows when the world is going to end. Nobody knows when God's going to flip the switch. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming back, including Jesus. So if that be the case, what's with all these stories then that Jesus was talking about? Well, I think we ought to pay attention about the end of each story. Remember, again, folks, parables are what? Stories, right? Are they exact credibility? Is he telling a true story? Like, okay, somebody picked up water and delivered it? No, he's giving you examples of what the future might hold. And the future in this particular case is what? The lesson is, nobody knows when everything's going to end. However, be prepared. Be prepared. Don't we say that now? I mean, you hear that now, right? When somebody dies that wasn't supposed to die, amen, right? You know, we weren't expecting him. Oh, my God, he died so young, or she died so young. And then somebody in there would sit there and go, and they'll put up that little message. You know, you need to go tell everybody you love them. Because you don't know how much time you have. Well, I know that sounds silly, but that's what this story's about. We don't know how much time we have. And we spend all this time giving money to people who are trying to tell us how much time we have. And it's ridiculous. We just need to prepare ourselves.
Doesn't it just follow what we've always been saying, is that all you have to do is ask and it'll be there?
Amen. How easy is it to say, Jesus is coming soon, and then we spend the next 20 years talking about it? Amen. Think about that. Churches have done that. They talk about ministry until you're tired, right? And then Sunday they get around to doing it when something actually lands on their doorstep. Preparation is really, folks, taking action. We had somebody out of the church this week that took action, was presented with a possibility and an opportunity to help, and they stepped forward. That takes guts, man. But that is what our faith is all about. It's not worrying about who's saved or not saved. It's not worrying about when the world is going to end. Although I will say this. Had that person not stepped forward this way, this week, for this person, their world that they stepped forward for might have ended. Oh, wait. Pastor, you're being mean to us. You're making us think about our faith and what it means. Actually, what I want you to think about is, what does love require us to do? Love does not require us to think about the end of the world. Love does require us to be prepared. That when somebody is hungry, that we can give them some food. That when somebody is thirsty, we can give them some drink. When somebody is, well, as they say in Georgia, which I always love saying it this way, naked, we can clothe them. Or in a particular case, if they're unhoused, to at least get them some shelter so they don't freeze to death. If we spent half as much time, folks, on asking ourselves, what does love require us to do, there would be far less people in this world that get killed. Do you know that I read a story this week that somebody got out a gun and shot their neighbor? Why did they shoot their neighbor? Because their neighbor's dog was barking. What does love require you to do? I would suggest that if we want to take this scripture for what it's worth and really put it into practice as far as being prepared, then we need to show up. We need to be present. We each need to be ourselves. So let's do it. The debate ought to be how we're going to get it done, not whether we're going to do it. That's part of preparation. That's part of what this story's about. You know, if you don't talk about things, you don't work through things, then something happens, you're all surprised, amen? When it ends up on your doorstep, and it's like, my God, what are we going to do? I have a solution to that the next time you have that question. My God, what are we going to do? I have a decision that I have to make about a relationship. I have a decision that I have to make about my service to the community or to the church or to my family. There's only one question that you need to ask yourself, then or anytime. Are you ready? What does love require you to do? God bless you.